Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Guys, episode 544, if you're listening to this in real time, you're either listening on the way to the firearm deer woods here in Illinois, a magical time for a lot of people, and a very feared time for other people for their deer. Controversial topics there, maybe we can get into that on a future episode, but best of luck to you if you're going out with a bow and your blaze orange, or you're going out with a gun and your blaze orange. Do your thing, be safe, have a good time. Two episodes this week. Launched one yesterday, launched one today. Haven't done this in a while because of all the episodes we have been dropping a week, you know, with all the different series and stuff coming. Lee Hurst sitting in here with me just to do the intros.
Yep, what's up, guys?
You weren't even on this episode, so this doesn't really make any sense, but we're rolling with it.
Well, I'm here.
Thank you. The cult leader always finds his way back into the studio. This episode's a ton of fun. I love, like, the first-time whitetail stories, so hope that you enjoy this. And you know, trying to think of some things I need to plug. We do a terrible job at plugging our own show. Wherever you're listening, please write a review, if whether it's Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen, just write a review, share us up, invite your friends to our social pages, spread the gospel. Does your cult say that?
No, spread the good word.
Spread the good word. Not to be confused with join our cult, as Lee would word it. The podcast is brought to you by Novix Tree Stands. And what's great is when you look down on a Novix tree stand, it says Made in USA on it. And you can trust your lives with American-made products. It feels good doing it versus a bunch of Chinese stuff. But be keeping an eye out on Novix for some holiday sales, some Black Friday sales. That is coming in hot. So if you need to get a good mobile tree stand set up, be thinking about that. You can't go wrong. It's a one and done. You can buy it. It's ready to go, and you can keep it forever. Nothing's going to go bad on it unless you leave it out and the straps go bad. But that's not like the Novix sticks or products. So yeah. Have something you can trust and rely on and use as your mobile setup, a hang and bang setup, if you will. So check them out at Novix. If you missed that sale, use code WCB22. Save yourself a little bit of money. Podcast also brought to you by Camo Fire. Camo Fire is a site that's actually quite a bit of fun. We don't really need to talk about Camo Fire or Black Ovis because this is what we talk about in this episode. But Marcus is from Camo Fire and Black Ovis, but revolving deals on Camo Fire. I'm just going to get on there now.
Delete your browser history.
That's right. There's a bunch of targets on there now, and I know I probably did this in the episode, but a bunch of archery targets. Caribou, moose, block targets, bow sights, bow fishing rigs, everything. So all sorts of goodies, releases, all that. So check out Camo Fire, revolving deals, and they refresh daily. So check that out. Also, Leupold Optics. Man, the importance of good optics while whitetail hunting is insane. I got to drink another beer or something. I'm like, can't talk. But do you always hunt with optics?
On my chest every hunt.
I feel naked without them.
Yep.
The details, I said this last episode, it's like the little details that you pick up, you know, if you hit a deer, post-shot details are so important, and you just can't get those if you don't have optics.
Yeah.
First thing I do, if I shoot a deer, unless I'm like actively watching him go down, if he's doing something other than falling to die, my optics are on him.
Yep.
Watching what's going on. Where exactly is the hit? A lot of guesswork can get eliminated out with good optics. So just keep that in mind. From shed hunting, that is so overlooked. You know how much walking you save if you have good optics for shed hunting?
I shed hunt a lot, walk a lot of miles, and the amount of pre-optics for me when I was younger, the amount of steps I save by using my binos
to go get a stick
and what I think is a shed is tremendous.
Yeah, I bet you it cuts your walking. I wouldn't say in half. That's pretty bold, but cuts it down by a lot.
Yeah.
It could. Depends on how gullible you are. Really?
Yeah.
That's tough. And you see a corn stalk bent the wrong way. Like, that's a G2.
Ice covered sticks, all that stuff, man.
That's right. And Old Barn Taxidermy, a lot of deer are going to die in the next 2 weeks. And maybe you kill a deer in the last week or two and you don't know where you're going to take it for your taxidermist. Go to a good quality, professional, trustworthy taxidermy shop and a meat processor. They're clean. It's the best customer service experience you will have at a taxidermy shop anywhere. I can say that with confidence. They are the best in the motherfucking business. And I think that that should be their slogan. If not, I just made it for them. Old Barn Taxidermy, best in the motherfucking business.
I see so many people that shoot giants and they take them to like $300, $400 taxidermist. And I'm
Ken's
just like,
hole in the wall taxidermy garage.
You're never going to shoot a deer like that again, guys.
It was $125 and I got it back in 4 days, Lee.
Good taxidermists have a wait. There's a reason they're packed.
That's true. Wait a year. It'll be done. It'll be done. Ask for your skull plate. Enjoy the rack. And when they need it, they'll call you. Old Barn's a shit. Check them out. Tell them we sent you. And if you go and you're like, I'm a working class bow hunter listener, I heard you're the best in the motherfucking business, they're like, cool. Well, now that you're getting your deer mounted, we're going to enter you in a drawing to win a mount next year. That's pretty cool. You win twice, brother.
Yep.
So if you're a big buck killer, you're feeling confident, take it to Old Barn. I heard you're the best in the motherfucking business. Working class bow hunter said that. Here's my buck. Enter me in the drawing, please, bitch. I'd like to be in that. Don't say that.
You're feeling spicy today, Kurt.
I got to get ready. We have an episode coming up after this.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
About me.
It's going to be a good one.
And the podcast is brought to you by Scent Crusher. Scent Crusher, we don't even need to really talk about it that much anymore. We always have. I think they're the leader in ozone. There's still the debate online about ozone, if it works or not. I think it's without question it works. I think it's how you apply it to your hunt.
Yep.
You know, I do it. It keeps me from washing my clothes all the time. That's a big benefit of it. And it keeps Casey's pizza stank out of my truck after I just gobble down a bunch of greasy slices of pizza.
I use the
ozone go.
The one that you plug into your truck. Yeah. I use it every time before I go hunt.
I like it, man. It just gives you that boost of confidence. Devin was in here, and we have a closet here in the studio, and he just had a regular a jacket that he didn't hunt with. Well, I mean, he probably does hunt with it. Devin hunts in the weirdest shit. But it was just like a black loophole puffy. And there was his wife had like body spray that got on it.
Yeah.
And you could smell it. I'm like, all right, let's try this. So I threw it in the closet and I just ran a cycle. And I forgot about it. You know, we just threw it in there and then left. And he actually commented on how it smells normal now.
Yeah.
So, or just doesn't smell, I guess.
I just got back from a pheasant hunt in the lodge we were staying, and they had the room cleans at their place.
Really?
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. We have that in the studio. It's kind of a must have when somebody goes in there and takes a dump. Just wash. You clean the room out.
Doug.
It's normally Doug. It's normally Doug. And Huntworth gear. Huntworth, the Heat Boost is the jam. I've been rocking Heat Boost. This is what I do. My Heat Boost pants. There's a zipper pocket on the side of the pants. I throw my release in there to and from the stand just in case. And then you don't have to dig through your pack once you get in the stand to get your release out. So I call it my release pocket. It's a big deal for me. And it's zippered. It's a big deal for me because it can't fall out, whether like a button pocket or something like that. So think about that. But the Heat Boost is the jam.
Well, I know Doug. He was a couple of those all-day sits. He was rocking the Heat Boost. And I was talking to him. And he said, the only thing that's getting cold is my feet.
Yeah.
I was like, it
was 30
degrees. And that was an all-day long sit. And
yeah, the fit is good, too. It fits good. You feel good when you wear it, which you want. It's not that important, but you want that when you spend money on your gear. The Heat Boost vest is the jam. I never was a vest guy. I had a vest, a Huntworth vest last year and stuff, but this new Heat Boost vest this year is the shit. The Saskatoon Heat Boost vest, heavyweight, windproof, soft shell. That's my jam. It looks good. And what I did, honestly, I wore my hoodie, my Huntworth hoodie. I need to get the official name on that hoodie because I'm so bad at just being like, oh yeah, I love that hoodie. What is it called? Let me look.
The hoodie with the face mask.
Yeah.
All the Huntworth stuff is spicy. Doug, Eric, where are you guys at with that chip bet, guys?
Ooh, calling them out. I can't wait to talk about that.
Come on, boys.
Where are we at here? Oh, yeah. It's just the Shelton midweight hoodie. That's what I wear. I wear that, and I wear the vest over. I wore that for a long time until it got, like, too chilly for my arms. Then I just wore everything else that I needed from Heat Boost. It's good shit. So, anyway, use code WCB15 to save yourself some coin. I'm not seeing any Black Friday sales active yet as of now on time of this recording. But if you want to get it before, code WCB15. And let's get into the episode. I think we're good. Lee, thanks for helping me with these intros. You want to help me with the med rolls too?
Might as well. I'm here.
Cool. All right. Hope you enjoy this, guys. Thank you.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Mutt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Welcome to the podcast. We appreciate you clicking on our faces or on Marcus's face on this cover art. Depends on what app you're using.
Probably Marcus's.
Great looking dude, isn't he? Glad you could be here with us. Check us out, workingclassbowhunter.com. We never really plug ourselves. That's why I'm doing this real quick. If you would, wherever you listen, write us a review. That'd be nice. That'd be real nice of you. I still need to feed my kids, so if you could just keep us relevant, that would be mind. Also greatly appreciated. Doug's got to feed his dog.
Yeah.
And you don't want a dog's dying on us.
Yeah, unless on you're a dog hater.
Yeah. If you hate dogs, don't write us a review.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, you
dogs.
Know, dogs. Yeah, support us, support puppies, and sweet little puppies. We're going to start this podcast right off with a veteran shout-out. What you got, Doug?
This one's submitted by Leticia Abera, and the veteran is James Schmidt. It says, in the Marines. It's a simple one. It just says, proud veteran, 13 years of service, hardworking stepfather and partner, who is very much loved and admired by his family. So,
very cool.
There's that. Thank you for submitting that, Leticia, and thank you for your service, James.
Thanks for your service, James. Shout-out to you. Cheers, buddy. Hopefully they listen. They didn't just submit a veteran shout out.
They might have.
It doesn't matter either way. We would greet them anyway. Going around the table, Devin Leonard co-hosting for Eric.
In the house for Eric. What's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing good, dude.
You're looking good.
So today, unfortunately.
Yeah?
Thank you. Do I look good? I took a shower.
Yeah, you look ravishing.
So, dude, believe it or not, this is the first time I've taken a shower.
In Illinois?
Yeah. That's like 5, 6, 7 days. I don't even know, dude. I've lost. That's what's so great about being out here, dude, is I've lost.
All respect for yourself?
Track of time.
Oh, okay. Track for time. Okay. That's better.
Now, the lady at the gas station, she had zero respect.
For your time?
Yep.
Was she hot?
It's that girl, dude. You know who she is? I think she's pretty cute.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Remember we talked about it? She's like, are you a serial killer? I was like, no.
What?
And then you said in the background, I'm not going to say it, but you know what I'm talking about. The lady that works at the gas station, the pilot.
This sounds incriminating.
I have no idea what...
Never mind. We'll talk. Anyway, okay, so unfortunately, tonight's my last night. I'm supposed to fly out tomorrow.
But you're not going to.
But we got to do some work.
And
we got to do Hunter's Box work.
That's right. So I might be staying another day, 2 days. Who knows? We'll go from there.
It's for the business.
Make it three. It's for the biz. Trey Heiner's in here as well, just kicking back.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks just for being here again.
Last night.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. Some things happened today that makes me wish we had another day so we'd go do activities around, you know? Judd McCollum is in here.
I am. Hi.
How you doing?
Not bad.
You have a black eye and nobody knows why.
I have no idea.
That's weird. Did your wife hit you when you're sleeping?
Not to my knowledge. Didn't wake me up.
Casey's in here as well. Queer for Deer's in the house.
Hello.
Sharon Mikes, ironically with Judd.
Yep.
And then the man, of the hour.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Good to be here.
Marcus is in the house all the way from Utah.
Good old Utah.
We just had, again, you know, we're taking advantage of you guys being here, getting all the podcasts done. Just three Western boys living in the studio, chasing a whitetail. So it's been quite the fun experience. It's been really fun talking like Western versus whitetail tactics and stuff.
and just our lingo overall.
Just everything has been great. It's been so fun.
Yeah.
And it actually worked out good because everything you guys had got delayed and see last couple episodes. But it worked out better because then you guys basically shared the entire camp together, where initially you had only been for a day or two for their camp. So it actually worked out better. It was more fun.
Yeah.
So I'm glad everything happens for a reason and it worked out beautifully.
Yeah.
So, and Devin's going to have to just extend his trip to make it work out even more beautifully.
That's right.
So, man, we should probably just start like the how you got here and how we got together, I guess, as far as working class and you and business relationship. And then it just kind of all snowballed and makes sense, right?
Yeah, so, man. I mean, we started talking to each other about a year ago now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a year and it's been awesome. Like, we've loved being partnered with you guys at Working
But
Class.
How did you two actually connect in the first place?
Well, I don't know if I remember how it got kicked up.
It might have been Mackie, actually.
Okay.
It was Mackie. Yeah, Mackie. Okay. I think he told me, he was like, hey, you should look into these guys. They're pretty cool. And I think he connected me with you. And then we just hopped on a call.
Yeah, I think that's just what it was. Yeah.
So Jason Mackie is where Clint stays every time he comes into. Okay. So, you know. Okay.
We do need to get him on because he's been on CC Hunt Files.
Mackie. Yep. Yeah.
He's
you're
been
right.
on there
yep.
a few times, I think.
Yeah. Yep. We need to get him in studio.
Yeah. I need to get him to the big leagues.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Clint's like the warm up to WCB.
It's Monday Night Football.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so that's just kind of cool. And then it just kind of like we got to know each other and snowballed. And we've always been familiar with Camo Fire, of course, and Black Ovis. I discovered Black Ovis before my first elk hunt on recommendation from Jeremy from Buckstorm, ironically, because that's really? Where we ordered all our stuff from Black Ovis.
Oh, nice.
Because he's like, hey, this is a store. He goes, everybody that works there knows gear. He goes, you order everything from there. So I have a bunch of just. I have Black Ovis clothes and a bunch of gear from Black Ovis from that first Western hunt we did.
Yeah, Black Ovis is a pretty cool, like, one-stop shop. But you know what I think has been really awesome for our partnership specifically is that the working class bow hunter, Camo Fire fits in perfectly there.
I love it.
I mean, it's top-notch gear that we're trying to get to people everywhere on a budget. And that's what it's for, and that's what it does.
I love it. And a lot of people didn't realize you guys have an app. Yep. Which could be dangerous for a lot of guys, but
yeah.
But we kind of run with it. Like, I think Doug, you were the one who started it off, and it kind of is like our campaign for Camo Fire is delete your browser history.
Yeah,
so your wife doesn't know where you're That's buying all your one. Shit from.
That's a slogan you guys should actually like roll with.
Dude, you'd be surprised at how many times I run into people, and they tell me, "Man, my wife hates you guys." And like, I was just up at Vortex headquarters earlier this year and we went to this restaurant and turns out the head chef there, he was like a big enthusiast for Camo Fire and New Windsor Depot Bar and Grill on
South. We're going to the bar after.
Sorry,
boys.
My Siri was talking.
Ninja back there.
He said something that got my computer all worked up. Sorry.
go to the bar. Turns out the head chef at this restaurant, it was just a random restaurant, was like a big Black Ovis Camo Fire enthusiast. And he comes over and he's talking to us and I'm actually wearing the shirt that we created together, Devin, the Hunter's Box Club one.
Yeah, nice, dude. Heck
and
yeah.
He's like, do you know what shirt you're wearing? And I'm like, yeah, I know what shirt I'm wearing. I work at this place. And he was a super nice guy. Turns out his wife was one of the waitresses and he brings her over just to introduce us. And she's like, who are these guys? He's like, they're the Camo Fire guys. And she's like, oh my gosh, not these guys.
That's awesome.
So it's funny how often we come across situations like that.
I bet. Well, you know, and then also my half of the plug, you know, because that is genius, delete your browser history.
It is. I like it.
But it's just how your wife, I'm talking to everybody listening, your wife more than likely is spending more money at Target than you're aware of.
So spend
a little more money than she's aware of on Camo Fire, you know?
Boom. It's a trade-off.
It evens out, right? It's called life.
Yep. And at the end of the day, dude, hunting is expensive.
Yeah.
Like, it's a sport that we all love, and it's kind of a lifestyle. And
100% is a lifestyle,
if there's a cheaper way to do that, then why not?
Yeah. So why is Camo Fire a cheaper way to do it? Because I don't think we've explained that, have we?
I guess we never talked about why it's cheaper, but we've talked about like the time window for like its revolving deals that change daily.
That's a good question, though.
That is a great question.
And a lot of people don't know. So Black Elvis is kind of your store where you can go on, get everything that's new and exciting and all those just like products that just dropped this year. And you'll see some of that on Camel Fire too. But what we do at Camel Fire is we go and we find awesome disc, like awesome amounts of gear, and we'll buy a ton of it. Mm-hmm. And we'll get it really cheap, and that's how we're able to provide such deeply discounted gear. Mm-hmm. We'll go to companies like GSM and Sitka Mystery Ranch, and we'll buy a lot of one thing or multiple things, and then we'll just throw them up. And it is a revolving door, so you'll see a lot of different products every single day. And there's some exciting changes that are going to be coming to Camel Fire too, so definitely keep your eyes peeled. But that's kind of the system there.
See, what I like about it too is, you know, if you know you have a, you know, for the Midwest guys, I have a Western hunt that I'm going to go on next year, the year after. I'm going to save money, collect gear. Well, it's like if there's certain gear you need, you can just keep tabs on that daily and then buy it discounted. So by the time you go on your hunt, you have more what you need and you save more money in the time frame. Like, you know, if you need like sleeping bags, for example, you know, if there's a certain one you want or you just need a different one for a backpack hunt or whatever, just keep tabs on it.
Yeah, so. Totally. I remember even before I worked at Camel Fire, I was on the app all the time. Mm-hmm. And I would be up hunting and I'd try and get reception on Saturdays for Sick of Saturday. And then when I got and I actually started working at Camel Fire, I realized how Black Elvis and Camel Fire were connected. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh man, that makes sense now. But it's just a cool system. Like you don't see that company structure anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's what makes Camel Fire so sweet, that you can get the best of the best gear just a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
You just got to keep your eyes peeled.
And it's more than a discount code. It's usually like 30 to 50 to 60.
To 70.
70% off.
It gets crazy.
Yeah.
Especially now, Black Friday, if you guys are listening, do not lose track of what's going on because it's about to get wild.
See, that's awesome.
No.
See, what I like, I always go through the things I go through most probably in a whitetail season. Gear hooks, bow hooks, tree stand, like tethers, safety straps,
pole ropes,
lineman's ropes or lifelines, whatever you call them. Everyone's kind of got a different name for it. That stuff, I just burn through.
Somehow you just lose them.
But I'm kind of weird. I'm not hunting a lot of public, for the record, for anyone who tries to crucify me. But if I do a hanging hunt, a hanging bang, and I really like the tree, I leave my bow hook and my gear hook in.
It's probably a good strategy.
Because then I know to come back to it, and I mark the tree on DeerCast, and I'll put it's set up, and I'll put in the notes on the pin, bow hanger and backpack hooking the tree. And I just know I need to just climb to that spot. Because then I'm not looking for gear, and then I know maybe one day I might have to make a move on that again.
Yeah.
Maybe that's wasteful.
It's not a bad idea.
No.
Would I do it? I don't know.
Guys like me that saw trees every now and then don't appreciate it much, but.
Yes.
Ding.
Just a bunch of hooks.
Yeah.
It can't hurt the tree, a little thing like that.
No, tree's fine. Not great on saw blades.
Yeah, but hopefully none of my trees are getting cut down and I have some problems.
Yeah, Jed, what are you doing over there?
But that's a good, Camel Fire is great to look for stuff like that. You know, if you're constantly burning through something or you need something, just do it and then just don't tell your wife.
Yeah, honestly, there's just a lot of everything on Camel Fire. Mm-hmm. Some of it you're not going to need, but a lot of it you're going to be like, oh man, I could actually use that. And some of it you're trying to build your Sitka system. You're trying to build like just your tree stand setups. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of it is going to come really in handy.
Do you guys have discreet packaging?
What do you mean by that?
No, it doesn't say Camel Fire on the boxes.
Oh, yeah, we should probably do that. We're actually looking at getting like branded tape right now, but maybe we should switch it to like Amazon.
Hey, just Amazon, there you go.
Target.
Yeah, there you go.
Just put a check box. I would prefer discreet packaging so guys can hide it from their wives.
Not a bad idea.
It's an upsell, dude. It's like a dollar option for discreet
like packaging. Incognito.
There you go.
You need to have tape that says congrats on being a winner or winning the sweepstakes or something like that. Have an insert in every box to keep you out of trouble. Like, hey, no, honey, I won, I promise. You know?
Not a bad idea for the homies.
Look, I don't endorse hiding these things from your partner or spouse, but
now I'll say it for you.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
But yeah. You do. What you
we do hide it from your wife. She doesn't. Hey,
you can't control the consumer.
Wife, how many times is she buying Starbucks a week? You know,
that's true.
Buy that thing you've been needing on Camo Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it.
Anyway, I don't know if that's what you guys, how you guys want us to plug it, but I think it's realistic. You guys need us, okay? Someone has to say it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but it's great. It's a great website. Download the app. Check it out. I always get on when we do like our reads or whatever. I hate calling them reads, but I'll just pull it up because it's something different every time. Well, here, let's pull it up right now.
Oh, now we're going to go through. Kurt's going to order something.
No, I won't.
What's today, Saturday? Probably got sick up there, man. Oh, it's a Black Ovis Day, actually, because we've started our Black Friday deals early.
Oh, here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So they're going right now. As people are listening, this will be up. So this will be up in a week. Yeah, pretty awesome.
Ooh, I like those pants.
I'm getting the monitor on here for the people.
You guys have trail cameras on there quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah, we do. But, you know, we try and switch it up a lot. I mean,
yeah.
Regularly we have Trail Cam Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
We're switching things up a lot, and we actually just updated our app this year within the last few months, and it's so much better now. If you've been on recently, like,
well, I think trail cameras are great. That's why I brought it up.
I love trail
cameras. Dude, these the stash sacks, those things are lifesavers.
They're pretty awesome.
I pack when I go anywhere out west or any travel, just hunting or not, those save me. It just keeps me organized. I'm not organized when I'm moving, and that saves my butt. So I like it. A lot of goodies.
So hold on. Actually, go back up. I want to see those bags that you're just talking about because I like that too. So what's the regular price and what do they sell for? 34% off. That's pretty sweet. 35% off. 50% off.
That's cool. That tells you.
Yeah, dude. That is. You ain't going to get that through a discount code.
No, I like it. I like it a lot. A lot of merino.
And all that merino is brand new. We just changed up. We got a lot of feedback from people using our merino, and we decided to make some changes just to make it a little bit better, and it is pretty freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like the Black Ovis merino, definitely worth checking out.
Dude, you guys got tripods and everything. What don't you guys do?
We do a little bit of everything, man.
Belts.
Oh, headlamps.
Headlamps. Game bags. The game bags are pretty popular.
The red bags are my favorite.
Really? Why so? What's the difference?
They don't stain. They're ultra light. They're ultra light.
Point. That's a valid
and they're
point.
Awesome. They've got stretch, but it's up and down so that when your meat is in that bag, it doesn't go out the sides of your pack, which is pretty rad. But I just love that they're red.
You're right. It's that makes a lot of sense. Nice. Yeah, you guys do well. You probably sell more red than white, I'm assuming, for that reason, but...
No, it's probably pretty close. I mean, we sell so many game bags. I couldn't even begin to guess how many we're selling. But
is that the number one seller right now?
Probably not right now. Just because, I mean, whitetail guys aren't using game bags.
No.
Not that often anyways.
I didn't it's actually even know until bigger. Trey shot his buck. We were joking around like, Trey, you want to quarter this out? And Judd, you were like, you have to, in Illinois, you have to remove the whole carcass.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I never realized that. I've never... quarter deer out here, but
yeah,
dumb.
I thought if I had to, you could.
So Western guys are usually using these game bags, and most of those seasons are over or ending right now.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, they should have already had their game bags.
50% off. You'd start.
That's true.
See? Mm-hmm. For next year, are you not confident? You don't think you're going to kill anything next year? Need game bags? Might as well order some.
Does that bar on the bottom mean like what's left?
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. I've never actually noticed that, if you want to know the truth.
I didn't either. Not...
Oh, dang. Look at those puffies for cheap.
See? All right. Look,
I like
oh, big fan of these sleeping bags. I got one. I'm a stomach sleeper. I like mummy bags, but I don't like them when they're too tight because I just can't, like, I feel restless.
Yeah. I don't like mummy bags. A little too constricting.
But these aren't bad. Like, those, I can those roll around bad. In mine.
In camp?
You got one, too?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I like
I sweated
them.
A lot.
Yeah, I like them a lot. All right, boys, we talked that. We were going to talk deer hunting first, but there's a lot more to talk about. So, and then,
ooh, socks. So, I need those.
That's.
You have them on you?
I don't have any on me.
Oh, I got a pair of those.
Dude, $5.
I'll see what I can.
My feet are getting cold.
Losing money on that deal.
What's that?
$5 for that hat, dude. They got to be losing money on that. That's how good of a deal it is.
80% off, man.
What's up?
Is there any visors?
Oh. Visors for Devin?
Yeah, Devin's
no, hat. But that's a $5 hat we can turn into a visor without losing too much money on my end.
I like the bucket hat. Dude, turn that one in.
I do need a boomer hat. That's $5. How?
Order.
I need to order that because I'm going to get skin cancer on my ears, man. I need some.
It's a good mowing hat.
Dude, yeah. I need to put some of this stuff in the box,
yeah,
bro.
You do. You
it's so cheap.
Yeah, dude, you do.
There's
yeah,
a $5 sun hat.
We'll buy it right now.
Let's do it. We're going to need 1,000 of them.
That's a good deal day right there, man. I like that.
The cool thing about the rotation with Camel Fire is just that there's something for everybody out mm-hmm. there. And I mean, everyone's got different priorities. Everyone's trying to do something different with their hunting this year. And that's why it's cool, because you're not going to see the same stuff every single time. Mm. It's always going to be changing up, and there's always going to be something cool.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, like you said, I can't think of anything else like it, especially in our industry. Yeah. It's pretty damn cool. Killing it, guys. And then, you know, Crispy is related. Crispy US is related, if you guys remember the episode we did with Kendall. So I guess I don't know if we asked Kendall this. I can't remember because we do so many podcasts. Like my brain.
Hey, can we roast Kendall real quick?
He was supposed to be here.
Yeah, let's roast him. Here. Where is he?
We better roast him.
Roast him.
He had to cruise over to Italy for some crispy stuff.
His wife wants to go to Italy.
Yeah.
Hey. Blaming it on. Am I going too far right now?
No, keep going.
Blaming it on the business. Is the wife going? Yep, no, she is. No. He's saying no, but he's shaking his head yes.
Gabba go.
Kendall, bro, where you at?
So, I guess, I don't know. I wonder if we asked Kendall that. I can't remember. My hard drive's full and I forget things, you know, because we've done so many podcasts. Right. But so, the boots are made in Italy.
Yep, handmade.
And then Crispy US, Kendall started Crispy US?
Yeah, Kendall and Mark Strickland. Well, they own the US distribution to gotcha. Crispy.
Okay. Okay.
And they bought that years ago, and they've just been making it awesome.
Why do Italians make such damn good boots?
Well, Italy is kind of the hub for that better hunting style boot, and Crispy, in my opinion, has just perfected it. I mean, we sell a ton of different brands on Black Ovis, and I use multiple different brands, Scarpa, Zamberlin, but I always find myself going back to Crispy's.
Really?
Yeah.
So I've only had Crispy's as far as like a high-end premium boot. One thing I wanted to look into, and I wonder if you have any experience, this is kind of going off a little bit, but we're still talking gear kind of, is like, what's that? Some people call it the BOA system. I don't know if that's a universal term.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Yep. BOAs, any brand can use that term, BOA. But what's your opinions on those? Because I looked at some of those, and I've heard guys love them, and then guys kind of give me the look you just gave me.
Yeah, see, I've got a couple buddies who run those, and they love them. But I can't get behind them just because you need different amounts of pressure at different points in your boot. And there's so many different lacing strategies nowadays to take pressure off of hot spots or just sore spots. And you can't do that with a BOA cable because it distributes the pressure evenly Great. Across your entire boot. So it would never work for me specifically, but I definitely know a few guys who just love those.
Really? See, I don't know. My feet, I don't know. They get hot sometimes. I don't know. I just tie my boots like normal, and I'm probably like underutilizing what my boots are capable of.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna recognize failure points, or not necessarily failure points, but sore spots, or just, I mean, everyone's foot is different. And when you get into the Western sphere, where you've got crazy elevation, you've got cliffs, rocky terrain, just crazy stuff all over, that's when you start to notice what is good for you with a boot and mm-hmm. what's not good for you.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, out here, I've just been using the Wild Rocks, but I've been on flat ground the whole time, and I wouldn't be able to tell you if they're going to work for me in a Western sphere.
Yeah.
Based off of here. But once you get out there, it's totally different.
Well, I'll tell you what I like about like a Crispy lace-up style boot. I used to be a rubber boot guy only for Midwest whitetail hunting. Like, always had these clunky, I mean, it could be October 1 to middle of November to December, I had clunky rubber boots, and I'm hanging stands in clunky rubber boots, and it just is not ideal. But now that I've done more Western hunting, like right now I'm running the Colorados, Crispy Colorados, hanging stands, moving so quickly, mobile hunting, you kind of have to have a lace-up boot to be... You can do it with rubber boots, but it's just way easier with a good so lace-up boot.
On stick.
They just fit better with at the end boots. Of the day.
Yeah. Oh, stand on... Like, if you're messing around with a stand trying to get it perfect, and you're standing on that top stick with rubber boots...
Kill your foot.
It kills your feet. And I rip up rubber boots fast just from rubbing up on, like, the tread on the sticks and all that and tree bark. But so pro tip, if anybody gets frustrated with, like, a rubber boot, maybe look into, like, a premium lace-up boot. Probably last longer.
Crispies.
So, like,
Crispies.
What's a good strategy for breaking in a boot, like, if you're on flat, soft ground like we are, to get ready to go out west?
Oh, to go out west. That's mm-hmm. that's a good question. And, you know, with Crispies specifically, a lot of people say there's zero breaking time. For me, I don't really buy into that philosophy. I think your foot has to break into the boot.
Mm-hmm.
And so... You have to go out. You have to figure out what you need to do to make that boot work. Breaking in and out here, just get in it. Do whatever you can.
Just
put some weight in your pack and start hiking your biggest hills. I mean, do what you can. Yeah. I mean, do whatever you can out here. The biggest thing is just get some hours in those boots.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Makes sense. But yeah, great question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just interesting, that kind of family of companies.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, I want to talk about you.
Okay.
Spotlight.
Let's hear it.
So you
go.
Let's hear it. Tell us about you. Let's talk whitetails, man.
What did Marcus do in the last five? How many days have you been here?
Oh, that's a good question. It's all blended together. When did I get here?
It's been so much fun.
Dude, it has been a blast. See, we don't even know how... I don't know how long I've been here. I can't even remember Tuesday? The day I flew in.
I know. I
because I just forgot about
out,
everything, dude. And it's been so much fun.
Yeah. Whitetail brain.
Dude, it has been so fun.
Is that a thing?
It is.
That's what I got going on right now.
It's been... Dude, this is like the first hunting camp we've had at the studio. And I just want it to be a tradition now.
Well, this isn't the first.
Well, you were in last year, but like it was camp. But this is like camp because there's a bunch of people in here, you know.
I think the first camp was definitely last year, bro.
Well, if there's whitetail camp for like a Westie, yeah.
Apparently, but last year didn't.
Listen,
mean much.
I want to be.
OG.
You're looking into it too far. Okay, you were done in like 2 hours.
This
bro.
Is second whitetail camp.
Second whitetail camp, but this was like okay community camp. Devin, does that feel better?
I don't know. I thought it was pretty fun.
It takes more than one Westie like to make
might,
a whitetail camp.
I feel
camp.
Like he might be neglecting last year's camp.
Well, it was so fast. But, yeah, you know, I'm not.
He's got whitetail brain.
Okay.
I'm not whitetail brain.
Maybe.
But I guess where I'm getting at is, like, it was, I don't know, it was cool last year. You killed your buck so fast and awesome and great. But this is, like, there's more than.
This is.
It's like a community.
The next step up. We stepped up our game.
We elevated it.
Elevated. Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it would still be fun if it was just you, but how much better was it?
But we had a bunch of people here last year.
Yeah, but I feel like you guys are all staying here at the same time. It just feels
that
like more
cool.
Camp official.
I was sleeping by myself, huh?
Well, yeah, we all
had no,
here.
I had no like sleepover buddies, dude. Now we're all having a sleepover.
Well, and I was worried about like, you know, the camps overlapping, like you being in here at the same time. And
honestly, it's been rad.
We're talking so good.
Yeah, I've been grateful that we did overlap because been so fun to go out with each one of you.
It's been the best, dude. I've had it's love having fun. You guys here. But let's talk about, because you reached out like, hey man, let's talk about doing maybe a hunt. End up kind of being like, we didn't know if we were gonna be able to find properties for all you guys, and it's just kind of it's hard in the Midwest.
It is.
It's a little more difficult. It's a little more political. But anyway, we went back and forth for a long time and loose plans, and then it was finally like, yeah, we got it figured out. Okay, here's I'm booking my flight.
Yep. Well, I've been wanting to come out here and spend time with you guys for a while just because I've really appreciated our partnership. It's been super rad. And
yeah, it's been great.
Your crew is awesome. Like, all the guys in it and everybody that comes over every single night, like, you guys have got a sweet setup, and it's just a bunch of good people. And I've loved that about you. So I've been really grateful to come out, spend some time with you. And it just worked out. And we got to hunt a few days and shoot some bucks. It's been so rad.
So much fun. Well, we got to do some cool shit in a short amount of time. But have you whitetail hunted much before you came out to Illinois?
My experience has been basically nothing. Like the week before I went to Kentucky with my boss Kendall, and I was filming his whitetail hunt, and it was a blast. It gave me a little bit of exposure. But when you're not the one hunting, you're – and I mean, I was also filming, and that was my main focus. And kind of where my energy was going, just focusing on filming the hunt. But when you're hunting for the first time whitetails, dude, it's a rush.
Yeah.
It is a rush. Like, what I noticed in Kentucky is that whitetails are cagey as heck. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just a different animal.
Yeah.
And every shot that Kendall was taking, those things were ducking like a foot to a foot and a half. It was blowing my mind. Mm-hmm. And they were like within 30 yards, 20 yards every single time. So when I came out here, I was like, all right, got to plan on the hard shot. And I did. And I shot my buck at 12 yards. That thing ducked. I couldn't believe it. I'm shooting like 300 feet per second out of my bow. And that thing ducked in 12 yards.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still made a really great shot on it. I was grateful for that and recovered him and really grateful for the whole experience. But it's different and it's a rush. And it's crazy how fast things light up.
Yeah, like 0 to 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean like from seeing nothing, all of a sudden you got deer on top of you? Is that what you mean?
Well, no, just, well, yeah, actually, I guess that's exactly what I mean. Just you're in the tree stand, which was foreign to me as well. And you're just kind of chilling. You're just waiting for something to happen. And I was reaching into my pack for my water bottle and some snacks, which I know you're against. And all of a sudden I hear this grunting and I'm like, whoa, what is that? And I look up and there's just buck just cruising. Grunts again. I grab my bow and
nothing's better than hearing a grunt in the woods because you're sitting there and you're like, oh.
Like you pause for 1 second to listen again to make sure.
You're like, oh, what was that?
Did I hear that?
It's because you want to see something so bad. You just hope you don't sit all day and not see anything.
Yeah.
And then you hear the grunt, you just know there's a buck. And they don't grunt loud.
No.
Sometimes your stomach gurgles just right, and you're like, was that a grunt?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you fart, you're like, huh?
It's a smelly grunt. But that's cool. Bump you sticks. Did get to hear him grunt.
Yeah, it was cool. He just started grunting, and he was cruising, and I tried to get my best look at what he was. I mean, I was going for the most mature deer possible. But
I love your attitude, though, coming in for your first whitetail hunt, because we asked you, like, what are your goals on this? And I just love your answer was just super realistic, and I love that.
I have to be excited by it. That's my one requirement. I have to be excited by the animal, and that's when I'm all in. I mean, at the end of the day, score doesn't matter. I mean, you obviously want to go for the most mature animal possible.
Of course.
But at the end of the day, if you're not getting excited, what's the point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's such an honest answer because it's like, man, you know, you think you have an idea of like what you want to shoot or what you'd like to shoot, but if your knees get knocking, it's your body telling you. You're excited about it. You know?
If your knees are knocking, start rocking. I'm trying to like come up with some.
Well, I was going to say if your knees are knocking, start
knocking your arrow.
Knocking your arrow. But it's.
Okay, I like
that. Oh, there you go.
That might work.
But it's knocking back to back. It needs work.
It's too much, yeah.
So that's the saying of the beds are rocking, don't come a knocking.
If the deer are walking, daddy's coming. Knocking. I said daddy and made it weird. Listen, we're not doing too hot on this. Okay, we'll come back to that, Marcus.
We'll figure it out.
Anyway, you got excited, is what we're getting at.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, we brought the house down.
I like it. Those ideas just need a little bit of workshop.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. Yeah. Some research team. There's a Hunter's Box shirt in there somewhere. So you saw your buck and got excited.
Yeah, and that was it. I mean, he just cruised in. He was on a trail right below me, and I had ranged it previously, and I knew all my shooting lanes were within 20, 25 yards.
That's the best.
Max, maybe.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, it's just going to be my top pin. And he came in, just gave him a little murk, stopped, and full pass through.
Crank.
I mean, he went maybe 50 yards, and he went down.
You watch him fall and everything.
Yeah, and I mean, right after I shot, I just looked at my hand. It's shaking, and I'm pumped. And I knew the moment I saw him, I was like, that's sweet. And I didn't have any big, like, goals, like, oh, I want to shoot, like, a 150, 60 buck. Like, I know you guys, you're shooting those type of bucks on a yearly basis. But me, I'm just dipping my toes in the water right now.
Yeah. Dude, that's what I wanted, though. Like, I want to go on recoveries with you guys when you're in town. So... You know, and of course, like Devin, you're a great example. 125-ish is what the buck you shot last year. Yep. Did we ever measure him?
Not here. I just did when I got home.
What was he? 125?
125.
Yeah, I figured he could be bigger. He's a good-looking buck.
Yeah.
But, you know, you wanted to shoot bigger. You've been here before. And that's like just all I hoped is you guys shoot deer you'd be happy with. And then we'll work on the ladder for whitetails as the years go on.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And dude, the buck you shot is awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm stoked. Dude, he's got like that wide frame. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dude, beautiful buck.
He's and
you,
cool.
You dude, actually sat there the day before.
Yeah, he you sat. Watched him. The day before. Yep. And I seen him cross the high hill because your tree stand's kind of like the bot at the bottom of that hill. He crossed at the top chasing a doe. And dude, what I was thinking about as you were telling the story is I'm like, I don't know, dude. It's kind of thick in there. There's some shooting lanes. There's not a lot. And Kurt just kept saying, no, dude, this is where you need to go. I'm like, Kurt knows better than I do. So, dude, you go sit there and you kill, dude. So that was cool, dude.
Yeah, I'm glad you cranked that one. What was going through your head when you watched him fall? Like, in your head, first day in Illinois?
I couldn't believe how fast it happened. Yeah. Like, even though I've been here for like a week and I've been out a few times now, actually only, I've been out like 2 days actually in the stand, mm-hmm. just because I killed day one. I was like, holy smokes. How did this just happen? It yeah. never happens like this.
Yeah, never.
It never does. But I mean, I don't regret it at all. I don't shoot. No, I don't regret shooting that buck because he's so rad. And the only thing I regret is I wish I could have kept hunting a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And just see these bucks in the rut. Yeah. See them chasing does. And
well, you got that's some rut experience though. Grunting coming in, is. Cruising.
It is.
That's Midwest whitetail hunting right there. That's what we dream about.
Oh yeah.
I'm so glad, man. You called me. What was I doing? I was down, I think. I don't remember what the hell I was doing. I wasn't hunting. Or was I hunting? I don't know. Anyway, you called me, and I'm like, hey, man, what's up? And it was kind of like a weird time. I'm like, and I can just hear you breathing. And but
hi.
There's like, hey, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
But it was like you had bad signal on that
bottom. Yeah, I had to walk up the hill, and I had like one bar.
But I can hear you breathing like kind of heavy, and I'm like, hello? And I just, you're still just breathing and you never said nothing. I'm like, hey, man. And then nothing. I'm like, oh, in my head, I'm like, he fell.
Dead at the bottom of the
stairs. You know, I'm like, oh, shit. He just called me with his last slow, heavy breathing, you know? And I'm like, oh, God. I really did for a split second. I'm like, dude, are you okay? And then I didn't even know if you heard me say that.
I didn't hear any of that.
Because then it like, hey, man, I shot one. And I'm like, what? No way.
You're alive.
That's crazy. He's like, alive.
I thought you fell. Just to me. To me, in my head, it sounded like you could have fallen or something. I don't know why.
Do a lot of people fall out here?
More than they should.
Yeah. I can kind of see that because today I was looking at where the gut pile was because I've got a doe tag left. And I was like, man, if a coyote comes in there, I'm going to maybe have to wrap my leg around this tree and lean over.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I could see how someone could fall off trying to pull off something like that. Well,
most people fall hanging the stands or getting in and out. Mm-hmm. Or like they fall asleep or something like that. Doug's fell.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
Pretty bad.
You're in one piece right now.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
New Year's Eve 2014.
How high were you?
25 feet.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened?
I was hanging a stand and then it came off. The top strap broke.
Uh-huh.
And flew me out.
Oh, yeah. And then when you hit the dirt, what happened? Like, how'd you feel? Like, you break anything? Your toes, your ankle?
Yeah, I fractured two vertebrae and broke my pelvis.
Oh. No shit.
That's 3 months in a wheelchair.
Dude, that's why Kurt's always like, wear your harness.
I'm pretty strict with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I used to not
and even
one.
Like when we were
it's
like,
my fault.
Oh, dude.
I'm pretty strict with it.
Well, yeah, you should wear it.
Yeah.
Even if they're easy stands, I'm pretty strict.
So what,
with
you
it.
Do the high line? As you're setting it, is that what solves that problem?
On my farm, I have lifelines on both of them. I do have, I will admit, this is probably not as good, but I don't have the lifelines in, but I have the tether strap right away when I get in. It's the first thing I do.
That goes around your...
Yep, and then if I can't do that, if I can't have 3 points of contact before I get my lifeline in, I'm not in it. Not doing it.
So you're running multiple straps on that tree. You're not just hooking onto the prussic knot.
So if it's like from the ground up,
yep.
I hook my carabiner in the prussic knot. If I'm doing a saddle hunt, I'm lineman's rope in the tree all the way up until I get tethered in. If it's a dangerous type setup transition from the top stick to the stand, I'm lineman roped in. So it's around my waist. So if I do fall, I just got to catch my footing. But I'm not going to fall. I'm always strapped. For where it changed for me is when I had kids. Yeah, I said, I'm not fucking around with this. And some stands are just sketchy. Like I grew up hunting sketchy stands, high step ends, mm-hmm. you know, it's a 3 foot step from the top stick into it and you're
you
holding on.
Slim.
Yeah.
Get a little extra bit of height.
Yeah. Jump into it. Kind of like a Trey's stand that he had to get in that that you set up, Judd. Dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous.
You didn't have any dangerous ones this time, did you?
No, dude.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I actually went in last year and put you that little helper deal up because it wasn't there.
You gotta have everything you can.
Yeah.
To just make it safe.
Wait, what are you talking about? The helper thing?
So it's like the little three-step, like, River's Edge deal that
this year you did.
No, last year I did. Or you wouldn't have gotten into that stand.
Yeah, dude, it's hard enough. And I don't think I'm the best at climbing either, so I'm not putting that on you by all means. I definitely
put one in the stand Trey killed out of.
Hey, you know what? That was a nice stand, dude. Nice stand and a nice tree stand, dude. That seat... I almost felt like I was in a Lazy Boy on that one, dude.
Are you talking about the ladder one?
I'm talking about where he killed.
Where he killed? You went up that?
Where he killed?
Yeah.
I sat in that stand, yeah.
When'd you sit in that?
I don't know. Maybe like two days after he killed.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you did. I lose track.
What's up, guys? Hope you're enjoying the episode. I'm interrupting again. Damn it. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate that, Lee?
Yeah. Got to make the podcast go around, though.
Lee's been sitting listening to this podcast, and he said, I'll stick around for the mid-rolls as well. So we're interrupting like we would do this in real time.
Yeah.
just pretend we do. It's some more fun that way.
Yeah, we do. Yep.
The podcast is brought to you by Dialed Archery, dialedarchery.com. A lot of people are like, Dialed, that's new. It is new. It's new to us, too. It's new to the working class bow hunter family, and we are enjoying the shit out of them. You can customize your colors, your dial colors. You can choose your sight tape inside or outside. I did inside this time. Wasn't sure how I was going to like it, and I really like it. Practicing in the range at home on the range and not shooting target, just sight in. I'm like, man, I don't know how much I like this on the inside, but in a hunting situation, you're rarely looking at the outside of your bow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't have to like tip your bow so you can see your sight.
Way more convenient. I did a black body or frame color, and then I did of course, lime green dial color. Sight them in is easy. I just did the walk back style, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, as far back as I wanted to shoot, lined it up with the sight tips that I already have printed and threw it on. It's great. And it's been forming amazing. It has survived through my archery elk hunt on the side of a horse. I've killed some critters with it, killed two bucks and a doe with it this fall. And, it's performed great. Love them. We do have a code. Do you want to get into one for free shipping?
And they are sexy.
They are a very attractive site.
Very clean.
Dialed Archery. The code is Working Class, all caps, just Working Class. So that's for free shipping. If you get into a Dialed site, just get on there, dialedarchery.com. Check them out. A lot of customizable options for your rig. And I think you'll enjoy them, man. They're a slick looking site. Best looking site on the market. In my opinion, they're bulletproof. So check them out. I think you will enjoy them. Podcast also brought to you by Victory Archery. And man, on a podcast coming up, I got my arrows have just been performing so good. I cranked the last deer I shot and it hit them hard. And I thought for sure the arrow was going to be snapped where I hit, and it was not. It's intact.
Which ones are you shooting?
I'm the Rib TKOs.
I have VAP SSs this year. I went Victory for the first time, and I unfortunately have not run an arrow through anything yet. But
well, that's a Lee problem.
Yeah, that's a me problem. That is a me problem.
But, Karen.
You know, just the general wear and tear from even target shooting. I mean, they're holding up really well.
I've shot Rip TKOs. Ross Bigger actually turned me on to them years before we were even partnered. I've been shooting them since, I think, 2017. I've shot them every year. And I need to calculate how many animals I've shot with Victory arrows since then, but it's been a mess.
A lot.
A lot. It's been a mess. But check them out. Victory Archery. We really like them. Great people over there, too. Have a lot of fun. Thermoseat. Thermoseat's a Americana hunting OG company, in my opinion. We do have a code, WCTS. You get in there. Hunting replacement seats, mechanics mats, pet beds, D-wedge seats. They have it all, really. If you're tree stand hunting, you're coyote hunting, you're turkey hunting, you're going fishing, you're going camping, they have you covered. Thermoseat.com. Get on there. Code WCTS. I feel like Thermoseat is an overlooked company because it's like, it's just seats, but it's not.
Makes a big difference having a seat versus just a metal seat on your tree stands.
Dude, I had a metal seat one of the cold days. I didn't know my seat got blown off on accident, and I was sitting up in it. I'm like, oh no. So I got down. I sat it for as long as I could. I got down for a half hour to go get some lunch, and we have a working class with our logo on it, yep. Thermoseat, and just a thin one. And I came back and I just put it on and it's like a game changer.
Oh, it makes a heck of a difference.
It's a game changer. So if I went from sitting uncomfortably to just like a 3/4 inch pad, letting me sit way more comfortably. It's, and they really do work. They do keep your butt
warm. And it
warm.
Keeps your ass warm. Well, oh, there you go. See,
I'm a professional.
I cut you off there.
Cut you off. So check them out. Thermoseat. Tell them we sent you. Good people over there. And something new. We're also partnered with Trophy Line. Trophy Line is coming out with like every product they can. It's insane. And I think just launched, I don't even know when. Like, I can't even keep up with the company that we work with. The ES Thigh Rig is out. Go to trophyline.com. It's a pack that attaches to your waist around your leg, or your thigh, I guess. Get on there. You'll see what I'm saying.
Yeah, the ability to.
There's Sean talking about it in the background. But what I like about a setup like this is for hanging hunting, you can have everything with your leg up is right there in your pack. So that's pretty awesome.
It's out of the way until you need it.
Yeah, 10 total pockets. So $59.99, the ES Thigh Rig. You can use code WCB and make that thigh rig a little cheaper. So check that out. Get on there, Trophy Line, support them. And Spy Point Trail Cameras, the Flex is out. The Link Micros are out. My Link Micros are bulletproof. I've had nothing but amazing luck with them things. My Flexes are all running good. Definitely the image quality is better on the Flex. I'm going to get into this story, but tons of Flex pictures of my buck I shot. And Lee, you helped me set some of that up with your Colt scrapes that you do and stuff. So it's great having good quality pictures. And even then, if you got the Insiders app on the Spy Point app, Insiders Club and the Spy Point app, you can hit request full HD image and get a good full quality photo. So that's always a benefit. No code for them, but I'll work on that for you guys and see if we can't figure something out there. And big time. Big time, be thinking about, well, you should be killing deer over your big time food plots now, but frost seeding is something to consider. I always underestimated it, but the plot that I frost seeded, the video of my cedar coming apart, which Joe replaced, even though that was, I benefited. That was Austin's cedar. Joe saw me struggling. He's like, hey, I'll send you a new one. And so Austin has this piece of shit cedar.
You made out like a bandit. And
Joe sent me this cedar. I should give it to Austin, but I'm not gonna. I was like, hell, I win twice, brother. So, but anyway, I underestimated how big of a difference that made. And I actually never even seeded it again.
That's all I do is frost seed my clover plots. Really? And actually, I had a pretty good buck show up and he's kind of sticking around. We're getting into the back half of the rut here.
Yeah.
And he showed up and I didn't have him last year there at all. It's the first time I've ever had a clover plot in here. So I'm kind of thinking that plot might be enough to keep him and hold him in the area and give me a chance at him late season.
You know what I'm going to do? I have a main event plot that's getting eaten down pretty bad. Like the deer are using it so yep. much. I think what I'm going to do is frost seed that all in clover. Maybe this is a bad thing to do. I don't know, but and then just in the fall,
till it up, plant it back.
Yeah. So I'll keep it all the time. I'll keep food there.
I do it all the time.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
I think, code WCB 2022. I'm sure once it's 2023, that code will be WCB 2023. So if you're listening delayed, just apply whatever year it is on the back of WCB.
You should work with him and really mess with people and just throw away random code out there.
WCB 1962. Just like, what? Doesn't make any sense. All right, back to the episode. Thanks, guys, for being here. Shut up, Lee. People want to hear the episode.
Sorry, guys.
But anyway.
I digress.
Be safe.
Yeah, be safe.
Yeah, be safe.
I will say just experiencing the tree stands for the first time this week, it's totally got me wanting to do this out west where me and Devin hunt. Like I'm totally about this spot and stock. Like you glass up those muleys, those elk, and you put the stock on because I live for those. There's nothing more thrilling than those for me. But it's totally got me wanting to test the waters out there.
See, I think what's cool out here though is there's way more action. I feel like you could go to the best unit in the state of Utah and put out a tree stand, and you're not going to have nearly.
No.
But you got to remember, though, you're here. You guys hit the peak rut and the best weather of the year.
And we're teamed up with the Working Class Bow Hunter crew.
Hey, listen, we went to Hunt Wars with Meat Eater. We beat their asses.
That's right.
I'm kidding. But we might.
No, you're not.
But, but anyway. No, but I always think about that, too. Like, anytime I go out west, I'm like, man, I'd put a stand right there in that tree over that saddle.
Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't have to do that much walking. I'd just get to that spot and then I'd be just sit there. You know, but I don't know.
The only difference out there is if you do something like that, you can still see so many different basins, canyons, ridges, and you're like thinking to yourself, man, I just want to go up there.
To be over there.
But here, you can't see like past 100 yards.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's so thick that you're like, this is my best. These are my best odds.
Yeah. It's funny you guys say that it's thick.
You like, don't think of it that way.
Oh, it is. It is. You know, I see why you say that, but I never really thought like thick to us is like CRP grass, hedge bottoms, which are that's impossible to get through. We're used to just thick in general in our woods. Yeah. You know? Doug likes thick women.
She thick. But,
is that a true statement?
Yeah.
If she ain't 280, she ain't a lady?
No, that's not true.
Well, there's fat and thick. Thick's like the nice way to say like you're a little
so
heavy.
So my buddy in high school used to say that, by the way. That's why I brought it up.
Thick?
He loved... No, this was his motto. His motto was, if she ain't 280, she ain't a lady.
I've heard that motto. It's not a bad motto.
That's what he liked.
To the
just
big,
saying.
The big queens. But...
And he was a handsome dude. Skinny dude, too. So I don't know
Are you sure you're not talking about yourself?
This guy I know. Great teeth.
I've got a feeling over here.
Why are you throwing me under the bus, Marcus?
Are you turning color?
I saw a sparkle in your eye, and I was like, maybe
why am I getting picked on?
You're turning a little red.
First it was Kurt picking on me.
You winked.
Now it's Marcus.
Dude, you've been on the defense every time we've got on the mic here this week.
Really?
You got something to hide?
You got something bugging you?
I don't know, dude.
You got something to get off
your chest? You kind of came unglued on me on the podcast last night.
Last night? No, dude. Okay, so do you know Oliver Tree?
Yeah.
Dude, if you listen to his podcast, one of his podcasts, it's kind of funny. Which he gets super aggressive, but he's just joking the whole time, right?
Yeah.
So when you talked about like the whole mule deer versus whitetail thing, I'm all like, this will be funny. I'm going to get fucking aggressive, right? And just like, mule deer are king, you know? And then you're all like, dude, you're being a dick. And then you like kind of hurt my feelings. So I was like, oh, shit. I thought I was like going to try and make a joke, but I could see like the look in your eyes. And you're like, I don't like you anymore, Devin. I'm like, all right, I'm out of here.
This got weird so fast. Well, I like you still. I think you're funny. It just didn't translate right.
I thought Devin was too pretty for feelings.
Yeah. Right, me too. But I think you should bring the tree stand game to Utah.
Dude, I might. And honestly, the saddle game's pretty rad too.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Do you guys ever hear about anybody? I know there's some guys that have, but...
Yeah, I know of a few guys that are testing out the saddle game out west.
Really? And what are they, for like a mule deer, what are they pinpointing? Saddle, just terrain features, or are they...
I mean,
water or what do you
do? It's tough. It depends on the time of year, really.
Because can you watch?
Saddles are a pretty good spot, I'd say.
Probably a wallow for elk or something.
Wallow for elk. Sure.
But for a mule deer, do you just kind of like, oh, he did it yesterday. Hopefully he does the same thing. Or do they not? You know
what
I mean?
Out there is you're messing with thermals too, which I right away when I came here, that was one of the first questions I asked you. Like, are you guys worried about the thermals? Like, is that something that's on your mind? But. The answer that's right away, no, but
that's situational based. You know, if you're on a deep cut, like a ravine or a deep cut on a creek, then you do. But most
you got
to
get really strategic out west. Cause I mean, a lot of the mule deer that I'm hunting are really up. They're up really high and they're in cliffy areas and you're talking about a lot of elevation.
Yeah.
So everything comes into play.
Man, if I ever like moved out west where I was like hunting mule deer all the time, I feel like I would want to like implement my Midwestern, like get in front of them, playing ahead of them, and just see if I could kill them. It'd just be kind of neat.
You'd have to be like dialed like 1,000% though. It's like the exact opposite of us here. Like I would shoot a lot smaller buck, like spot and stalk on the ground than I would out of a tree stand. But it seems like it would be the other way around out there.
I know what you're saying.
You know what
Maybe
saying?
It doesn't translate. Like here, our opportunity to do a spot and stalk on a whitetail, the percentage of success on that, or even the opportunity to attempt it, is so low that if you got the opportunity, even if it was a buck 20 inches smaller than what you would consider your standard, you still might consider shooting it because it'd be a cool scenario.
Yeah.
Whereas like I've spot and stalked and could have shot one buck last year, and that was the first whitetail that I can think of off the top of my head that I've ever spot and stalked up and on.
Well,
just don't happen.
Guys do use tree stands out west. What I was trying to say is out here, you're going to get more action.
Yeah.
Which is what I think is so cool about it. You know what I mean? Even if you're just seeing does, it keeps you entertained.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like tonight, dude, I've seen like 2 small bucks, a 2-point and a couple does, you know,
is that 2-point or a spike?
It was a 2-point.
Forky?
It looked like this.
Forky.
Yeah, a little forky. But anyway, it's like, so that keeps you entertained. So my experience with tree stands, and I've killed a mule deer out of a tree stand before.
Oh, you have? Really?
Yeah. It's actually my first mule deer ever.
No kidding.
Yep.
Very cool. In Utah?
Yep. Yep. Fish Lake unit.
Awesome.
So for me, dude, I just think like if I were to take this back home, dude, I could sit in a tree stand, no shit, for a week and not see anything.
Oh, really?
But maybe on that eighth day, that big buck I've been waiting for walks by. But it's harder to be entertained. Well, for me at least, right?
Yeah.
And dude, I'm not kidding you, dude. I love the bear hunt because it's up close and personal. It's over a bait in a tree stand.
Yeah. You're talking about Trey's bear hunt in Wyoming.
Yes. And now that I've done this, dude, and watched those whitetail come in consistently, dude, the whitetail hunt out of a tree stand might end up being my favorite versus the bear hunt.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I can see that. It does. I mean, if you're seeing deer, you can keep sitting. But as soon as you quit seeing deer, you start feeling that wind.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the weather out here?
It's not bad. I mean, it's definitely not as dry as the western states, but I mean, it's perfect. I mean, this is what you'd expect for this time of year, and it gets the bucks moving.
Is the terrain what you thought it would be?
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, I'd say it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Can you see why we're fat?
I wouldn't say that.
You agree though?
No. You guys are in tip top over here.
I mean, we're pretty shapely whitetail hunters because we move a lot, but we're still fat.
Yeah.
I mean, we eat a lot of Casey's Pizza. Sponsor us. We need to figure that one out.
Is that just in Illinois?
Francis? No.
It's all around.
Casey's?
Midwest.
Is it full Midwest based? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they're in Indiana. They're in Wisconsin. They're in Iowa.
All the good spots.
Yeah. Everywhere that it matters. But yeah, I mean, there's some whitetail hunters that do give us a bad rap. Just how there's some kind of like douchey Western hunters that give all you guys a bad rap.
You get all kinds of people everywhere.
But that's fun though. Like, it's kind of fun to poke fun at each other like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, you guys are in our world, and it's so fun for me. And we've done a couple podcasts while you guys are here, and that's kind of all we've been doing is like compare and contrast. But completely opposite hunting worlds, it's kind of fun to do that. It's rare we get to do that.
I'll tell you what's difficult for me is all the bucks you guys have up here in the studio. Field judging these and just scoring them in my mind is so different from mule deer. I've almost had to like separate them. They're two different animals. I got to like relearn how to score a whitetail now, because if I compare it to a mule deer, it doesn't add up in my head.
Okay. Yeah. So I can't really judge a mule deer. I don't think very well.
Yeah, I can't either.
Like, I know when one's big and I know when one's probably medium, but I can't be like, oh yeah, that one's a 190. I could probably get close, but
yeah. What do you use to field judge a mule deer? Do you guys go by ears or?
Oh, Devin,
dude, I think it just comes off of experience, right? Like you've got to like handle a lot of mule deer. Mm-hmm. You got to look at a lot of mule deer, and I think the best way to learn how to field judge an animal is see it on the hoof and then score it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
kill it and then score it.
Yep. And so I think it's just experience, just like everything else, dude. Yeah.
What do you think, Trey? Because you probably touch more mule deer than everybody in here. Well, of course, the two Westies combined, with how many deer you guys kill.
No, it's the same experience. I mean, you do enough. You can just look like you look at them white till you just like, yeah, that's that type of deer. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you guys have killed so many. You've scored so many. You've handled
You look at ears for a whitetail, Judd. I don't even consider the ears. Like, you know, he's inside or outside his ears. That makes a big difference. But I'm like, I don't know. I go back. So I grew up watching Monster Bucks videos, VHS videos. And remember Monster Bucks? So we should bust one out. Yeah. I'll dig one out.
That'd be a fun drinking game.
So we used to do that. So when in hunting camp with Jim Burns, who just passed away, and you know, my dad just passed away. Both my hunting idols passed away within a year of each other from the same thing. It's kind of fucked. But
yeah.
We used to, in hunting camp, we used to watch Monster Bucks videos, and then it would just be like hunt after hunt after hunt. There's no BS in the middle. It's just like, oh yeah, it's so-and-so in Kansas, and then here comes the buck. The guy cranks it, and then he picks it up, recovery. It just cuts out all the meat. It's just all meat, no taters. And then it'd just be like, this buck, 158. And then on to the next one. Immediately, here comes the deer. Shoot. Boom. There's a score. So we would watch those and guess. Mm-hmm. And you just learn from watching those. You look at frame. Like, I just look at a buck. I'm not like his ears to his beams to this. Like, I just like, pew, scan it. I'm like, probably 155 or whatever. So I think that's what made me judge that way is from monster bucks. Same thing for you, Doug.
For me.
We'll have to watch one of those tonight so you guys can kind of see.
Yeah, sounds good.
Those would be fun.
Sounds like
classics.
Straight up immersion.
Immersion.
Just learning by immersion, like diving straight into it.
Yeah. I thought you were referencing like a video or something like that.
No.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's how we do it. But yeah, if I had to like put money on judging a mule deer, it'd be, I mean, you guys would laugh. You know?
It's interesting. Like mule deer, it's a lot of experience, but elk, I have a few tactics that I go straight to. I mean, I start looking at frame right off the bat, and then I go to the actual head itself and the fronts, like your brow tines and your seconds, how far they come to the snout, the end of the mouth. I mean, I've got a little bit of a system for elk, but a lot of it comes down at the end of the day just to experience.
Yeah.
Being around a lot of them, guessing, just trial and error.
Yeah. See, elk, I'm just a lost cause. Haven't done it enough. You know, I can tell when I like one.
And that's the most important thing at the end of the day.
It is. Yep. It really is, too.
You got to love it.
The score is just a reference.
Yeah.
It is.
Other than that, it does not really matter. Like, you know, I've measured a lot of whitetails for guys. I'm a measurer. And I've had guys come in ecstatic about their deer and just freaking out, happy, over joyful. And then as soon as I put that number on them, defeated. And they leave. Mm. And it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
It's not kind of a bummer. It's a bummer.
That's one thing the score should never do. Take the fun and love of what we do out of it.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, my elk, dude, I'm so ecstatic. Someone's like, what did he score? I'm like, not even going to measure him. I do not care. He's a 5-point, and I like him. You know?
400.
And that's, like, this hasn't came out yet because we haven't talked about it. Like, but tonight I shot a buck. I tagged out tonight. Then everyone's like, what's he go?
Hold on, what?
I'm tagged out, man.
Kurt's tagged out.
My marriage is saved. My marriage is saved.
You could dispose of the divorce papers.
Yeah, shred them, honey.
Sorry, Casey.
You got me for another year.
Daddy's back. Yeah, Casey's trying to get my wife. Casey's hoping I wouldn't tag out.
She's making Play-Doh snakes.
Damn it.
Kurt shot a buck.
So I don't even really want to measure him, but I'm gonna. But that's not what it's about.
Can I measure him?
Mule deer guy measuring my whitetail. He'd either come out really, really big.
Those are fighting words right there.
It's all the same.
Yeah, but
the starting point to the end point.
I guess a whitetail is easier.
So your buck would be like measuring a 3-point mule deer.
That's true, but I've only measured like a handful of mule deer and it's been a while. Because the 2 is the 2.
Yeah.
The G3 is the split.
The G3 is the front fork, right?
The front fork off the 2.
Yep.
I think not a lot of people know that.
So you got the G1, the eye guard, brow tine.
Okay.
And then you've got the G2, the G3, and then the main beam.
Okay. And then a 4 if he's...
Yep.
That'd be his other fork.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And then, but isn't one of the circumference measurements up the 2?
Yep.
See, that is weird to me.
Well, so the mule deer gets it because it splits on his... Typically, the mule deer would split on the G2.
Mm-hmm.
On a whitetail, typically, they don't split on their G2.
Yeah, it's uncommon, yeah.
So, but when you do see one, do you guys think that's cool? Because to me, I think that's like really cool.
When a whitetail has a split?
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
On the G2.
For sure. I think it's cool.
Yeah. All right, I won't measure it, but that'll be cool.
It's interesting. Yeah, we're not going to measure them tonight.
It's too late.
Yeah, and it's cold outside. We went out there to look at them. I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Pretty good studio.
I ruined myself yesterday, man. See, you killed your buck in very fair weather.
I did. It was warm.
Yeah, it was pretty damn warm. We had to get him taken care of. Like, we got your buck out of there, and you guys went to work just basically starting the process.
It's been chilly these last couple days, though.
Very cold.
It's been real cold. Real cold. Do you wish you could have got a full sit in the cold? I mean, you sat this afternoon for a doe in the cold, but...
Yeah, and it was fun.
Was it colder than you thought? Today wasn't as bad. It wasn't as windy.
See, that's where probably my lack of experience shined the greatest, just because I had no idea, like, how do you layer? How do you know what's going to keep you warm enough when you're just sitting? Like, I had no idea. So,
dude, and I had to relearn everything I had. Mm-hmm. That's smart. Did you get hot or cold?
I was pretty good.
You're comfortable.
Yeah, 800 gram boots. I had Sika Fanatic bibs and jacket, which are basically just pounds of fleece.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. And bunch of base layers.
I feel like every year, like the weather gets cold like this, I have to be like, okay, how was I layering last year?
Yeah.
And I just like, I got to go out and suffer. I'm like, oh man, I forgot to put this on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this morning,
real quick.
I wore all my Heat Boost, the heaviest Huntworth bit, everything I had. I was like a marshmallow out there.
I was too.
And I was pretty comfortable. I kind of fucked myself up though. I was way underdressed yesterday. It was so windy and it just chilled me to the core, and I'm still chilled. I feel like
every one of you guys that came back, you just looked dead.
Yeah. It was like a brutal day.
You
didn't
out.
Even show up yesterday because you were beat up.
I was dead.
I haven't taken my long johns or my base layers on my pants off since yesterday morning because I've had a chill.
I just like laid in bed and didn't move.
I almost didn't get up this morning.
Ooh,
I shot my buck tonight, so I could have slept in, but. Yeah, my alarm went off and I came back. I got down kind of early and took a midday nap. I needed like a recharge, and Sam's like, I'm surprised you got up. It's like I laid there with my phone on my chest, waited for my other snooze to go off, then I'm like, time to get up.
It's so hard to get up in the mornings, dude.
It's tough. Well, especially when you hunt all day. Like sitting in a tree stand,
it's exhausting.
What's so exhausting about it?
I think it's not moving. Like you always feel better when you're active during the day. Like when you have a lazy day on the couch, like you feel like a piece of crap.
You feel tired.
But when you move around, you get stuff done, you always feel better.
But I think like I don't really relax when I'm hunting. Like that kind of goes back. Like I don't take naps. I don't do the snack thing. I don't even bring water with me because then I'll have to pee, you know, and I think I'm like on pins and needles the whole time. I think that is the number reason why I'm exhausted, because my brain is like firing on all cylinders. Like,
yeah.
And I think that burns me out at the end of the day. That's what makes me tired.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you feel that way, Doug, when you sit in the stand all day?
No, I'm a little less more comfortable than you are in the stand. I'm not on pins and needles all the time.
You're not?
No.
Do you feel like you miss more deer though because of that?
No. I know they are.
How do you sit, Marcus, when you're in the tree? Where on the, like, Kurt being, I'm talking in third person, most anxiety in a stand, and then Doug being, like, narcolepsy at the bottom of that spectrum?
If I'm awake, I'm, like, my mind is focused on something, and it's hunting, for sure.
So you're more
I can't relax, yeah. I'm on your end of the spectrum there.
Okay, Team Kurt. Devin, where are you at on the spectrum?
Yes. So I think for me, it's like just thinking too much is what, like when I'm sitting in the stand, it's just thinking
about hunting.
It's everything, dude, whether it's hunting, it's work, it's my kids. It's
see, I play out
Kurt
scenarios.
Yelled at me on the podcast. You know what I mean?
Still thinking about it.
Still playing
but,
that over.
Dude, so for me, like before we even started, I was thinking like, do my brain just works harder or works more? It like thinks too much.
Yeah. I get that. So you're more on my end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Trey, where are you at? I'm curious. Cause you seem calm, cool, and collective. Like when you were sitting in the whitetail stand for the day you hunted, like, do you feel like your brain was firing on overdrive or were you pretty chilled out?
No, it was, mainly I was just trying to soak it all and just trying to learn. It was new to me.
Yeah.
So it'd probably be different for you guys if I did it every day, like you guys, you know,
but yeah,
I was just trying to learn just the habits of all the animals around, just kind of
be attentive.
Yeah, but trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So you're 3/4 throttle, probably. Yeah. That's cool. That's fair. Yeah, the processing on a new hunt. I felt that way like my first time bear hunting out with you guys. I was very attentive, but like kind of taking in what I was doing.
So if it's not as cold, do you still get worn out just as much? I feel like that's the other half of it, right?
That's like the physical.
Not as
you're still
much.
Tired though.
You're still tired, but it's
like
definitely
when the cold's
not
there, and you're shivering. Your body's working overtime. It's like,
Definitely. Casey, where are you at with that? The you know, anxiety level, Kurt full blast, Doug being narcolepsy.
It kind of depends on the day, I guess. If it's kind of a slow day, I'm just kind of like, all right, come on, dear, you need to move.
Yeah.
But if it's like today, this morning was a really good day, and there was deer like just
moving all over.
Yeah, moving all over. I saw probably 12 deer, but it was like one here, one there, but it was like
enough to keep you alert.
Yeah, all day long I was kind of high alert.
Like, you're like in predator mode.
Yeah.
You're I'm all like, what's up?
Okay, there's one.
Sweet. I'm the prowl like a kitten.
Yeah.
Where are you at, Judd?
It kind of depends.
Yeah, that's good.
Like a gold star.
So you're like, where are you at? Give me a number. Doug being one, me being 10.
Kind of probably in the middle.
Okay, that's fair.
Like when it's warm and they're not really moving that well, you know.
It's hard to be in it.
Yeah, like if you're hunting the afternoon, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to sit here for a couple hours before the deer even start moving.
Oh,
so you're just kind of chilling, maybe looking at your phone.
I think that's accurate. The birds. That's accurate for me too. She said it better.
Okay.
It's like if the deer are coming in, you're like the predator. Yeah. If they're not coming in, you're like thinking about stupid shit that you don't need exactly. to worry about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All the emails you got to check.
It's like, fuck.
Something 12 years ago.
Where's that deer at? Save my soul.
Where's Judd at on this?
So it kind of depends for me on like how much work I put into getting into the tree. Like if I'm hopping in a preset and I kind of know, like Casey said, that they're not going to be there till an hour before dark, like, I'm just comfy and probably at like a one or two with Doug. But like if I do a hang and bang in a new spot, like I'm probably an 11, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. Which is, you have to be.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting convo. There's a skill to sitting.
There is.
In a weird way. There kind of is.
I feel like I'm really bad at it right now.
You know,
it's so different.
I sit a lot. I sit and lean. Do you stand a lot?
That's like 50-50.
Yeah. I lean.
You're standing 50% of the time?
Yeah, I'll fall asleep.
I'm leaning 50% of the time, probably.
My narcolepsy.
But I might sit more than I stand. I don't know.
I feel like, too, when it's colder, I'm more alert because it kind of helps keep you warmer.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Like, I know the last, Friday afternoon and today, it was cold, and I kind of had to be more alert to stay warm because otherwise I'm just sitting there.
I shiver bad when it cuts through me, and that's isn't that like a tactic to your body to try and keep warm?
Yeah.
A natural tactic.
So when it's warmer, I'm more relaxed, and then kind of like if it happens, it happens. But when it's colder, it's like, all right, anything can happen at this point, and I got to be ready. So, and it kind of helps keep you, I think it helps keep you warmer too.
I do. Hey guys, sorry to interrupt the episode. Hope you're enjoying it. We want to take a quick second and got Devin Leonard here actually to talk about one of our great partners at Hunter's Box Club. So you've heard us talk about it in the past. You've seen Clint support on CC Hunt Files. Maybe you've subscribed in the past and got some shirts. If you forgot about it or you don't know what it is, Devin's going to break it down for you.
That's right, guys. So we've designed a t-shirt for the working class bow hunter crew, and we're going to give you guys this box for free. All we ask is that you guys cover shipping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the episode before, we said that we were going to limit it to 100. Well, before we could actually stop it, we had 140 people take advantage of that offer. So we now have to print more shirts no matter what. So what we're going to do is we're going to print another 140. So that means we have another 100 boxes that can go out. You have to order before November.
For the end of November.
Yep. Before the end of November. And there's only going to be 100, and this time we have to stop it because we won't have time to print before the next month.
Right.
And
if we sell 100 more, Devin's going to pay for my tag to go on a coos deer hunt in Mexico.
Yeah.
So I really want to go to Mexico and do this, and I really want Devin to eat his words and have to pay for my tag. So if you can help us out with those 100 boxes, it's the price of shipping.
Yep. So guys, what's super cool, this is going to be an exclusive t-shirt designed just for working class bow hunter. Kurt, do you want to talk about the shirt?
Yeah, so we wanted to do a kind of like a whitetail camp type design. And I was like, it'd be cool to do like a working class bow hunter studio or like a cabin, like in the woods and all this, you know, just like the classic hunting camp tradition that us whitetail hunters love so much. And Devin's designer's like, well, whitetails are cool, but here's an elk instead. and it came out. I was like, that's actually super, super cool. I was like, run it with the elk. The elk's cool. I just killed an elk.
Yep.
It kind of fits. So the design's really cool. I haven't seen a design quite like it. So I'm pretty pumped on it. The elk is cool. It's a good touch.
Yep. Now, guys, the only way to take advantage of the offer to send Kurt to Mexico is you have to click the link in the podcast notes. If you click any other link, it's not going to give you guys that offer, and you won't get the t-shirt. So click the link in the podcast notes, and the t-shirt and box is yours.
Yep.
1 to 3 surprise item in every box.
There's some good stuff in there, too.
Yeah, so in this giveaway, you guys are going to get the Working Class Bowhunter t-shirt. You're going to get a Working Class Bowhunter
And CeCe Hunt files koozie.
And yep. And then you're also going to get the measuring tape.
The measuring tape's sweet.
From the Working Class Bow Hunter to tape out your next big whitey.
That's right. That's right. Well, thanks, buddy. I'm excited.
Okay.
Help me go to Mexico. I feel like I'm trying to win a sweepstakes. I just want you to lose this like bet. Like, well, I'll do it if we buy 100 more.
Dude, I'm going to lose no matter. Well, yeah. So I'm going to lose because Mexico is not cheap.
Unless people just don't want me to go and they're just like, no.
100 boxes, you get to go to Mexico, dude. That's a good deal for you, bro.
Well, I appreciate it.
And not only that, dude, I want you to experience Mexico because you're going to have fun.
It'll be a blast. All right, guys. Thanks for supporting this. Back to the episode. Hope you're enjoying it. So, Marcus, what would you do different next year?
What would I do next year? I don't. First off, I got to say, like, based off all your comments, just barely, like, I got to say, you guys are mentally freaking tough out here. Like, you hear about that with, like, backcountry hunts and these gnarly environments and stuff. But, dude, out here, you guys are freaking tough. Like, it takes some serious patience and strategy. It's cool. It's cool to see you guys in your element just killing big bucks.
Cool, like, man. I appreciate that.
I couldn't do it. Like, I can't, like.
You're capable of it, dude.
I'm just learning right now, but it's really cool to see you guys doing that. Next year, I should probably wait a little bit longer before I shoot something.
I love it, though.
But still, a first. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't, you're not saying you regret it, though. Just saying next year he'd wait.
Not at all. So just because cool. I want to soak in the hunt just a little bit more. I mean, yeah. It was a blast. But, I mean, the whole time I was in this stand, like, every day I've been in it, I'm focusing on all these things. Like, I'm trying to bring my universe into your universe. I'm thinking about the wind and watching what happens based off of stuff that I've taken from my environments. And I just want to keep spending more time, to be honest. I think it's going to take that to actually learn the tricks of the trade.
For sure.
Be successful out here.
Definitely. Yeah. There's a lot to process, just like when we go out there. You know, it's like, man, we got to get better at this, but it's damn fun.
Yeah.
The learning's so much fun.
Yeah.
It is.
Very fun. You know? Well, man, I'm glad you came out. Me too. You got one. I'm glad we all got to hang out and have a good time.
Yeah, thank
congrats,
you.
Congrats, yep.
I'm really grateful for you guys. I'm stoked I got to spend some time with all of you. It's been so rad. I love having new friends, and you guys are some of the best of the best.
Thanks, man. Well, looking forward to a lifelong friendship and a great partnership continuing. And we're going to see him at ATA, too. So we're going to make him take us out to dinner.
we'll take you out to dinner.
We'll go party.
You'll drive us.
Does Kendall go to ATA?
Yeah, we'll
Kendall goes to ATA, don't he?
Yeah, he went last year.
Yeah, okay. For sure. Yeah, I've talked to him there in the past. Yeah. He won't be in Italy.
I only saw you guys for like 5 seconds.
We were both running to meetings, I think.
Yeah, we were running to shoot a video. I think it was with Tethered, actually. And you guys were going to shoot a podcast.
Yeah. That's the thing. I got to get our podcast scheduled together for ATA. I got to book our hotel. We got the Rubline marketing room.
That's January, right?
It's the January like 6th and 7th in that ballpark.
Sweet. I'm so pumped. I love ATA.
Like, I love it too, but it's like all our buddies are at one spot and you can't hang out with everybody in one weekend.
I will say it is like one big Petri dish for whatever bug is going around. Last year, dude, everyone had COVID.
Everybody did.
Everyone did. And no one was saying anything, but like you'd walk past someone and they're coughing and sniffling and it's like, oh,
everybody
gosh.
Had
don't
it.
Say anything, but.
Well everybody went to... Well, it was in Louisville last year, right?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be an Indy this year. Louisville sucks compared to Indy.
Really?
You ever been to the Indy?
No, I haven't.
Indy's so much better. Everything's connected by the Hampshire tunnels from the hotel, the convention center. Oh, no. Everything's connected. Where Louisville, it's like the show
in
downtown and restaurants is like 15, 20 minutes apart.
Ooh.
Louisville, you don't leave. You park your truck for the weekend once everything's set up, and you don't go back until you're leaving the show. Oh, it's man. Badass.
That's going to make it a lot better.
It's so much better because all the bar, that's where the real business goes down. Handshake, professional stuff, but then the deals go down at the bars and you get to hang out with your buddies. It's awesome. So
dude,
fun.
I think what I love most is just all the new gear. Dude, I geek out. I am a gear nut. Like, man, it's just so fun seeing all the new stuff that everyone's coming out with, all the new bows, the sights, the stabilizers. Yeah. Tree stands, blinds. I mean, there's just so much cool stuff.
And yeah.
If the hunting industry is one thing, I think it's just innovative. They're always trying to get better at stuff. And
yeah.
I think it's super rad.
We normally podcast our butts off at ATA. And I'm hoping we can pull back and not do as many. One year we did 17 podcasts in 2 days.
Holy smokes.
And I think that's a record for our industry.
Hung over too.
So I don't want to do that again. Oof. It's a lot of milk.
This is too much.
I'd like to do like two a day.
That'd be nice. I like two a day.
And then we can do our meetings, do two podcasts a day, and they'll be better podcasts because we're not like mentally
exhausted.
Problem
is, once you get there, there's so many people there, and you're like, oh, we got to do this podcast and this one.
I know.
And the opportunity is so high that you can't pass it up.
It is too, but you know, it's like with our partners, we'll do podcasts with our partners at ATA, but I just want to be like, we have a studio. You guys come hang out for like a night or a whole weekend, and we could actually have a real meeting and a real like relationship builder. Yeah. Kind of like you came out.
Well, exactly that.
If we did the podcast at ATA this year, we would not have near the same connection as we
do now. Mean, I met your families. Like, it's so rad. You guys are cool, and we've got to spend some time together, hunt together, and it's just different.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's way better. It's amazing. But yeah, it's like we have the studio for that, you know. Yeah. We'll podcast with randos at ATA and some of the shows. The studio's for family, you know. Awesome, man. Where can people find you guys?
Oh, we're all over. Check us out on YouTube for blackovis.com, our social, Instagram, Facebook. We're kind of just all over the place. But definitely check us out. We do rad giveaways every single month. This month, we're giving away 2 e-bikes from Baku.
Ooh.
Pretty rad. Last month, we gave away a bear hunt in British Columbia.
That's pretty sweet.
And
did I win?
I'm going to have to look over that again. I don't think so, though. If you are signing up, just a heads up, there's so many scammers out there. Just be careful. Don't give anyone your credit card info. Like, we're not asking for that. We're going to email the winners, but just use a little bit of common sense.
I get messages for our partners doing giveaways daily.
You ever notice how on Instagram, like, when a company's doing a giveaway, how many fake accounts of that company start?
No idea. It's a nightmare.
How do they know?
Dude, and I'll get like hundreds of messages from people. They're like, hey, I got this message. Did I win? I gave them my credit card info. And I'm like, why would you do that? Like, you just won something. You don't need to give them your credit card info. And we talk about it in every message that we give out. We're like, beware of scammers.
Yeah.
Be careful. But, dude, I
it's
mean.
Like, how'd you fall for that? Their name was Black Otter. Not Black Ovis.
Seriously. For real. Like,
different animals. Yeah, that's true, man. It's crazy. We had at Iowa Classic of all places, when we're the busiest, we had an Indonesian chapter of Working Class Bowhunter get fired up on the Facebook that we were in the middle of doing a giveaway. I can't remember with who, but yeah.
HHA.
It was an HHA deal at the time.
Tetra, yeah.
Oh, you're right. And it was like,
they knew their stuff too. They
did.
Posted all our podcasts on the page to make it seem legit.
Yeah, like,
well,
that's what they
do. They'll take our Instagram and they'll copy every single photo so it looks like us.
Yeah.
But then the name has like 6 S's.
Or an underscore here. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, ours was Working Class Bowhunter, but podcast had 2 D's in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's their jam. And it's so annoying. And mostly,
damn Indonesians.
Mostly I feel bad for all the people getting scammed.
Yeah,
like,
it's bullshit.
Sucks.
It sucks big time.
But you just got to be a little
bit
careful.
But you got to look for that. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
And next time we do a giveaway through Working Class Bowhunter, Doug will call you personally, and you'll know it's him. You'll hear his mustache bristling on the phone.
It's softer than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
John.
We had this conversation before the podcast the other night. We're like, hey, just rub that thing on the microphone, and he did it. There was no sound. I was disappointed.
Oh. It's like velvet.
Yeah, I thought it'd be more bristly.
Give us a bristle.
Is that because you put a bunch of like mustache oil in it or what?
Oh,
we're getting to that.
He takes care of it.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
Give us a bristle. Nope, move on.
Uh-oh.
There will be no announcements.
Can't even hear it.
It is soft. Okay.
Very, very sneaky.
We're going to have to crank the decibels on that one.
Yeah, I'll have to really just enhance that audio. Enhance. All right. I was going to do roundtable, but I think we're all kind of in the same spot. We've roundtabled a lot at the end of this. Thanks, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you.
Pumped you got your first whitetail.
Yeah.
Congrats, buddy.
Awesome.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Awesome, Buck.
You guys are the best.
Shout out to Todd, by the way.
Yes, dude. Todd's the man.
I was hoping he's going to make it tonight, but he's at a Carrie Underwood concert.
You guys went above
what?
It.
What? I would have gone. Todd, where you at, bro?
Me too.
You know what he told me last night? He's like, dude, I'm going to hit you up. We're going to talk more. Dude, we can talk, but Carrie Underwood, where you at, bro? Takes me. He probably took his wife. I understand, dude. Don't worry about it.
That would be a good time to get a hold of that.
Carrie Underwood.
Okay.
Took his daughter.
Good
gotta
dad.
Get a hold of that
good
notebook
dad.
Of his.
You guys went above and beyond, you and Todd, to help me get into a spot. And I know Kendall really wanted to come out, too. He was bummed he couldn't make it, but thank you. You guys are seriously awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out, man. You're welcome. It's been fun. All right, everybody, anyone, anything else to add before we get out? You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you. Later.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.